It don't cast, last. Now everybody go chop breakfast, shayo. As in, this song is stuck in my head. I cannot get over it. I've probably listened to it like 100 times since Friday. Like, that song is a pure tune. Fun fact, why I fell in love with Burna Boy is he has this rebel nature that's just very sexy. I cannot explain it. Like, no offense, he's not the most good-looking guy on a chart, but he has this one thing. I'm trying to edit it, but for lack of a better word, I'm just going to say, he has big dick energy. Like, when he walks in, he commands your attention. Like, you know, you will feel his presence. And I think I particularly fell in love with him when he went to perform at one festival. I'm not sure if it was Tomorrowland. And he was supposed to be the headlining act from Africa. So you're expecting that to come with, like, you know, some, you know, va-va-voom. You should be seen. Like, they should go over and above to make you happy. This is how the guy went to perform. And you know how, like, they have visuals going around the stage and stuff? And they had listed, like, the performances and everything. And then they had put Burna in the smallest font at the edge of the screen. Like, barely legible, cannot be seen. And he seriously took offense. And he was like, So this is how you people are carrying me. You don't understand what I'm doing. No problem, I will show you. And the next year, he came out with his biggest album this far called African Giant. And yeah. Let's just say, Burna really thinks he is who he really thinks he is. Let's go into the intro, and then when we come back, we discuss. See you in a bit.
Hi, welcome to Auntie Kiko's podcast. Enjoy.
So yeah, like, I've been jamming to that tune. Update, I still haven't managed to edit Abu's podcast, the second part, and it's killing me. This retrograde is really retrograding. Like, the fact that Mercury affects energy, particularly electricity, I am starting to believe in this shit, because there's just been an occurrence of similar events electricity wise, and not just with me, amongst even people who don't believe that Mercury is in retrograde, just confirming my thoughts. For instance, I serviced my car not too long ago, and I've not been driving that much. Just for meetings, weekends, I prefer to chill. If I'm going out, either I get picked up or cab, whatever. I haven't even been going out much. If you follow me on Instagram, you know it's been a while since I gave you a naughty night. So all of a sudden, the car just sent me notification that one wheel is crooked. I'm like, from where? Since when? How? Like, you just got fixed recently. Then my friend had traveled to go and sort out some business. And this is like a standard trip where she just dashes in, dashes out, gets her documents, picks up her stuff, and then is back on her way to her hunky-dory life. How did she arrive? And then they said that the system is down and she had to extend her trip by like 2-3 days. And I was like, this is definitely the retrograde. Thirdly, the socket, the extension cable that connects most of my kitchenware that I've had probably for like 3 years now, just packed up. From nowhere. And the worst part, it was not even overloaded. It's extension cable that can take up to 6 sockets. It only had 2. So I don't understand why it just decided to pack up. I just don't get it, honestly. Then at work, the other day, there was a problem with our internal system. Some cameras on people's laptops were not working because of some app. Like, it's been mad. And okay, retrograde, you're winning. Keep doing what you're doing. But June 22nd shall surely come and we will be ready with the energy to go back to default settings. And not just talking about like energy, physical energy, emotional energy as well. Like, one thing that I read for sure is that they said avoid conflicts during the retrograde. Let me tell you, conflict has been looking for me left, right, and center. And I like to think of myself as a very peaceful person, especially when it comes from the people that I love. Granted, like every other human being, I have my weaknesses and my downfalls. And one of them is mood swings. So I am a person who enjoys interacting and engaging on IG more than I do on WhatsApp. Just because WhatsApp mixes a lot with my professional as well. So IG is my safe space. And there are instances where I enjoy the instant connection of a DM and I reply and we have like a chatty, quick conversation. And then there are times when I just see the notifications piling up and I'm like, not today. I really cannot pay attention to the DMs today. But at the same time, I want to be able to scroll and post without the guilt of someone saying, I can see online, respond to my message. And that is a very delicate energy to balance because I see a bomb post, I'm like, ah, repost. I'm like, shit. I know someone who's going to get offended if I post this now because I've ignored them in the DM. But I'm just not in the mood to talk on the DM. Do you guys go through the same thing or am I just losing it? Please tell me that you all go through the same thing. Because if I'm losing it, then I definitely need help. On top of that, my therapist is still not back, so I haven't had a session or a tune-up in a while. And I feel like all my emotions are just intertwining, and I hope I don't explode soon. But anyways, other than that, we are upbeat. The podcast is keeping me entertained, watching the numbers grow every week. My loyal gistmongers who post relentlessly. In fact, when I upload this podcast, I'm not even going to post it on my Instagram. Let's see if you guys will actually find it without me posting it. And let's see the number of people who will actually listen without me sharing on my Insta. Let's do that. Okay, cool. It's a deal. Appreciate you guys. Before we jump into the madness of this week's episode, where do I start? So, good news. We had another 3-day weekend in the UAE. And this time, not for the greatest reasons, our president passed away. Sheikh Khalifa bin Zayed, born 1948, passed away in 2022. He's recognized and will be the legacy that will be remembered as the builder of dreams, builder of bonds, and builder of bridges. It was a very, should I say, rude awakening. Like, I believe, like, I have a relationship with death. I've seen death. I've experienced death. I know death is something that it's like a cancer. You always live knowing that it can happen anytime, but you try to enjoy those days where you know that it's not there, right? And they were streaming his burial on some of the news sites, and I just looked at this guy, like literally on a stretcher, wrapped in a flag, no coffin, no nothing. And I'm thinking, this was a man who could make people crawl and bend and do things of great magnitude. And now he's just resorting to a 6-foot hole wrapped in cloth, not taking any of his material possessions, all the alliances, the networks that he had, both tangible and intangible. Like, death is such a humbling experience to see such a powerful man in the modest of states. Wow, if that does not remind you to do you, then I don't think anything will. So food for thought. What are you doing this week to ensure that you're intentionally living your best life? Not succumbing to the expectations of others, what your parents, your family, your husband, or what your kids expect, but just doing something that you know is vital for you. What have you done this week? I can tell you for sure, I haven't done nothing much. But the fact that I'm thinking about it is work in progress. That's just that there. Since we're on the conversation of death, there was another huge male death over the last 2 weeks of a very controversial, I don't know if I should call him content creator or podcaster, Kevin Samuels. I have never seen such a polarized reaction to someone's death. Like, you know, the death comes with some certain element of respect. Like, oh, let's not speak ill of the dead. But let me tell you, people went in on this man. And I was expecting it to be women because on many occasions he was known for being a dick, a huge dick to women. But it was actually coming from equal sides of the field, like both men and women. There were some who were pro Kevin Samuels and said he was the dose of reality that everybody needed, and some who were just saying he's the reason why mental health is a decline and he was a toxic SOB. But the most interesting thing that caught my attention is that this man preached the gospel of a high-value man or a high-value woman. Like, he would have women who are maybe of a particular age, of a particular size, of a particular skin tone, call in and be like, oh, I'm a graduate this, I'm an MBA this, I hold this position in a bank or in a company, but why can't I find a man? And he would strip you naked to your worst weakness and tell you you're fat, you're ugly, you don't take care of yourself, you don't even carry yourself. What are you doing to be a high-value woman, to attract a high-value man, blah, blah, blah. And the worst part is he used to say that nurses, caregivers are like bottom of the barrel quality when it comes to women. Shock on you. They found him with a nurse. He died on top of a nurse. The nurse was nursing him when he decided to elevate to the levels of glory. Yes, and died. Yes, and you would think that for someone who spoke so highly about being high value, my guy barely had $1,000 in his account. Oh, and the best part, let me give you the tea, sis. He was staying in a bed space, a shared accommodation, like literally shared kitchen. He just had his room and his own corner space where he had his office, but the rest of the house was subletted to other people. So just goes to show you that social media is not a real place, and I hope you're living your best life, because all these people who are preaching wine are drinking tap water, not even distilled or sparkling, tap water. So just do you, boo-boo. Let nobody ever tell you like what you are, who you are. Your life, your rules, and that's on period. Another thing that caught my attention this week was there's going to be a wedding in the metaverse. And I was just like, damn, is that what we've gotten? Is that where we have gotten to? Like, weddings for me are the biggest celebration. I am a certified professional wedding guest. I love and I live for weddings. And I'm very disappointed that we're almost half into the year and nobody has invited me for a wedding. I have dresses that I took to the tailor in 2019. I still have not worn them up to 2021. You people better invite me to a wedding, I beg. I will come and dance. I will sing. I will dance. I will jubilate. I won't just eat your rice and drink your wine and leave. Trust me, I will make sure that you have a memorable day, because that's what I do, boo. So send across those invites. I will be booked and ready to attend. Yes. Theme or no theme, we'll show up and show out. So are you ready for me, girl? Send that invite. So this wedding is going to be on the metaverse. Apparently, this is a very common phenomenon in India. And it's actually not a massive shift or pivot, because if you think about the pandemic, where a lot of people had planned weddings and opted and resorted to much more simpler, unique ideas like Zoom weddings, and then end up realizing it's quite cost effective and less of a hassle to plan. Now everything is just going into the digital space. Also considering that a lot of Indians, this would work for them since their family is scattered across the globe. And you can imagine how coordinating travel arrangements in this post-pandemic era is. Yeah, you have your family who's anti-vaxxers. Just imagine trying to get them like certification tests and everything to keep traveling, from one place to another to come for you. It's a headache. So a lot of people are resorting to the metaverse. But I have a lot of questions. Question number one. So if the wedding is in the metaverse, where is that marriage certificate valid? Like, it's online. It's not a place that we go to. It's virtual. So does the wedding certificate, is it attested online, or is it attested based on the IP where you're hosting the wedding on the metaverse? That's the country that get, like, I just need to know, because this is starting to sound like a plan, Han. Keep it cheap, keep it on a budget. Let's do it on the fucking internet. So that was just the first question that came to my mind. And then I watched this video of this girl, and she said how she did hers. There was like a proper event. She'd always wanted to do it facing the Eiffel Tower. And because it was the metaverse, they even created an avatar for her father. So her father was able to walk her down the aisle. And for them, they actually made like real meals. They got a catering company that has like global presence. And as a result, they were able to send food packages to all of their guests. So they ate like literally at the reception. They ate what everyone was eating. The part that really, really impressed me is that this couple is like a very blockchain crypto oriented couple. So to make up for funds, they didn't charge their guests to attend the wedding. But what they did, they created NFTs that were displayed in different places of the wedding hall, and the guests were allowed to buy them. So most of the guests bought those images as contributions to their wedding gifts, which was then paid in crypto, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Doge, whatever currency, cryptocurrency you want to use. And I was like, that is some dope ass shit. Like, this world is really changing. I don't know if I'm ready to lose the traditional wedding, but I'm liking where this chain of thought is going, and I'm willing to explore further. And you know me, I'm not mean with information. As I educate myself, the gist must definitely trickle down to you. So I'll keep updating you guys on this whole metaverse wedding fiasco as the information comes by. So yeah, that's just another thing that I wanted to discuss. Number three, AMVCA. I'm not even going to lie. In comparison to the outfits that I saw at the Met Gala this year, Nigeria no go carry lasts. My friend, they showed up and they showed out. See fashion, see clothes, see design. Someone who said that. Please, all those pictures that you're saving to go and show your tailor and Babadogo cannot stitch that corset, my friend. Respect yourself. Why do you like setting yourself up for heartbreak? Please, if you have someone who's stitching your clothes called tailor, not designer, don't come and save AMVCA photos and send them to them. They will not be able to do anything. And then someone said, when corsets get to heaven, they will not want to see a Nigerian again, because the only thing that men were seeing in that AMVCA was corset, corset, corset. But I love it. I absolutely love it. It's a beautiful time to be a black person. And the fact that Afro cinema, Afro beats has put us on the map. Finally, we are being respected and recognized for an industry that we have struggled to build for years is absolutely remarkable. I was having a conversation with someone the other day. He's quite eminent in the Nigerian music space. And I was just asking him, like, why do you think Nigeria, who, to be very honest, were amongst the last countries to actually catch on to Afrobeats? Like, growing up, a Nigerian artist, who? Maybe Fela Kuti, and those was like very alter music, alternate music, alternate beats. Like, it was old school. But growing up in the 90s, 80s, there was really no genre of Afrobeats. Like, it just popped up from nowhere. And we probably listened to more Lingala, more South African music, Brenda Fassie, Yvonne Chaka Chaka growing up. But like Afro beats fused with hip hop and stuff, no, that was not there. And then came, I don't know if you guys remember East African TV, Channel O. So I feel like it came down south, came through the East. The East was able to take that well. And I think one country that did it perfectly was Tanzania, because man, the music industry speaks for itself. And they brought out music in a very beautiful way, in that most Tanzanian songs tell a story. You know, it starts from when he meets the girl on the side of the road and he's driving a mkokoteni, a push cart, and then the girl likes her, and then they end up dating. Like, the whole music video was literally a movie. So Nigeria just came from nowhere. Like, I think after Yori Yori, I just, an African Queen, since then, Nigeria was just like, okay, you guys paved the way. Now let's show you how it's done. But now, allow me to pause for dramatic effect. Now that Afrobeats has gone global, I have mixed feelings. I'll explain to you why. I remember when I came to Dubai in 2009, and you'd go to a club and there would only be like one African song they would play. Actually, two. It would be P Square, do me, and then it would be ta-na-na, ta-na, 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 Premier Gawo, that one. I think it's called Magic System. So it was just those two songs. And automatically when those songs would drop, it doesn't matter which corner of the club you are on. First of all, this is another thing. Why don't clubs these days have dance floors? That's not nice. We need to bring back dance floors. This one of dancing in between bar stools or where you're standing is not giving, sis. Must we always be protecting our drinks? Can we just go and dance on the floor and meet random people and just have vibe and let the lights control our minds and be in the moment? What happened to dance floors? Club owners, please bring back dance floors. Thank you. Respectfully, Amaka. So yes, as I was saying, when I first came to Dubai and they would play these two songs, like, it doesn't matter whether you are in the toilet, you are ordering a shot. It doesn't matter whether you are at the door waiting for the valet to bring your car. When you hear this song, all Africans converge on the dance floor. And then you just meet, you talk, you get to know each other and stuff. But now, let's just say I'm not a really big fan of Afrobeats going global. Reason being, now it's like our culture has been appropriated so much, especially by the Caucasians, for lack of a better word. And there's too much culture appropriation to the point, like, even now white girls are getting bigger asses. Like, the other day we were in a club and they were playing Do Maybe, and we were looking around and we were like, there's not even one girl, one black girl dancing. It was just all the white girls dancing, twerking this and say, ah. They have taken over, oh, my friend. Before, it would take guts for a black man to go and approach a white girl. Now, there are tables everywhere in the club. It's full of white girls. They've taken over. Well, shout out to all our kids who are going to have like a nice range of beautiful Caucasian mixed kids. Good on you. But in this right moment, I know this sounds a little bit off, and I'm going to get a little cancelled for saying this, but cheers to you, Afrobeats, for going global. But I just feel like now we have to share our uniqueness and our thing with the whole world. And I'm not that much of a sharer, for lack of a better word. What do you think about this entire scenario? Are you proud of Afrobeats going global? Back to my conversation, which I rudely interrupted. So I was speaking to this guy. He's a novice man when it comes to music and entertainment. And I was like, what do you think propelled Nigeria to this level that they are on right now in terms of recognition of doing great things? I mean, Tems and Wizkid having the longest standing song on Billboard Chart Awards. That's not a small feat, right? So what do you think made this possible for Nigeria? And he said that our government has robbed us of everything that we can do. Everything from business, natural resources, everything. The one thing that they cannot take away from us is our talent. And this is us using our talent to rebuild our economy. And I thought that was so freaking profound. Wow. Think about that. And then come, let's discuss in the comment section. So, while we're talking about Afrobeats, music, we've covered Kevin Samuels. I've told you about our Sheikh who passed away. I was just thinking, like, what are the trends in entertainment right now? And probably we can tie this to generational differences. But what are the trends that you miss from the 90s that are not so prevalent right now, are not common? I'll tell you for sure. What happened to girl bands? As in, I grew up in the day of Destiny's Child, TLC, SWV, Spice Girls. Why are we not seeing any more girl bands anymore? Like, is it that girls just fight all the time? The competition is too stiff? What happened to girl bands? I really, really miss those days of having girl bands. Yeah. Secondly, is there's one particular crop of people that I'm finding very hard to understand. And since we're talking about generational differences, let's start with a little bit of a definition. Gen Z are the people who are born between 1997, some people say 96, 95, to 2012. And then millennials are the predecessor generation born between 1981 and probably 95, 96. Now, after Gen Z, the real wahala that is loading is something that we call Gen Alpha. And these kids are born from 2013 up to 2025. So this conversation about girl bands just got me thinking. And I was like, what are some of the glaring differences between Gen Zs and millennials? I will start. There's this particular group of people that are born in between, right on the cusp of where Gen Z starts and where millennial ends. So the people born between, I would say, 95 to 97, they have the frustration of the millennial, but they have the energy of the Gen Z. These people are confused. Avoid them by any means necessary. They don't fit here nor there. It's a struggle. So that was just the first thing. Like, I realized all my friends, when they say, oh, I'm born 95, 90, I said, explains why you're like that. You're not sure where you belong. But yes, let's address some of those big differences, especially now in a post-pandemic era of existence. And one thing that I see very open, Gen Z people don't like to work. Let's just be honest. Like, I remember as a millennial back in the day, you know, you would probably have somebody, a glucose guardian, who would do a little schmizzing on your life and be like, let me anoint you today. Go and buy bag. Go and buy shoe. Send your mommy some money. And you would still keep your day job. But these Gen Z babes, they don't care. You will feed them, finance them, and still cuckoo come and do the work in the evening. They don't want to work at all. And I don't know why there's a sudden surge of like women who are just comfortable doing nothing. Not saying that I'm judging you. As long as your bills are paid, do you? I beg. No, be my nunu way, get action when you're doing it. When you're coming, I'm not coming. I'm just trying to manage and pay my bills. So, but I just want to understand where that laziness, for lack of a better word, came from. Where that, it's not like they don't have ambition. In fact, in comparison to men, it's not like they don't have ambition. In fact, in comparison to millennials, Gen Zs are more gutsy. We're seeing more younger 22, 23-year-olds starting boutiques, Instagram boutiques, businesses, startup. Like, I was just reading an article for someone who created this app that can read your documents to you, and is like 26 years old and he's gotten like 3 million funding. I'm like, at 26, I was not even thinking of entrepreneurship. Do you understand? So they're very more gutsy and they have all these ideas. And because they've grown with technology, they kind of have an idea of what to do, and they're not stuck of like, oh gosh, I have this idea, but I don't know where to start. For them, they just know University of YouTube will teach you something. And now, while we're on the subject of University of YouTube, they're more curious and experiment a lot than millennials. And let me just take it somewhere completely different. Allow me to digress. Is I speak to some of these Gen Z people, and I remember the most glaring one was this girl told me she had had intercourse with a man, but they had never kissed. Yeah, that's why I paused. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, we liked each other. He liked me. I could feel the energy. There was tension between us. He just looked at me. We went to the bar. We had a shot. Next thing, we were in the parking lot doing things. And he hadn't even kissed me. And I was like, what happened to sexual progression? Growing up, we used to have something called first base. And for me, I was stuck in that first base for years. So you're trying to tell me there are no bases anymore. Like, come as you may, let's be doing and you be going. That's it. And that's why I feel like I speak to a lot of my friends who are like 27, 28. And there's this game that I think everybody should have. It's called Conversations Amongst Adults. I'm not so sure if that's the name, actually, but I'll check. I played it recently with a couple of my friends. If you saw my Instagram stories, you probably have an idea. And one of the questions was like, what's your wildest sexual experience? And, you know, you're thinking like maybe a one night stand, maybe one time you did it in the car and stuff. All these kids go like, so there was this guy, and then there was this girl, and then they all came together, and then we were all just like a throuple. And I'm like, wow, that's just a regular night out. Like, you ended up with two people. Wow, it's a wawoo situation. Yes, some of they're very curious and they're willing to experiment. And they're like, yeah, I tried it. It was really not my thing. Now my next ambition is probably two guys and just me. Let's see how it goes. And I'm like, sis, that thought has not even crossed my brain in the last 35 years of my existence. At 25, you're already doing this? Millennials were very cautious. Like, we grew up where things were so black and white. Now we are living in a free-flowing gray world. And we still kind of hold on to those roots, those standards that we had. But these Gen Z people, they don't care. One of them told me, why are you feeling sweet? I will go with you and your boyfriend together. I say, yay. No filter, right? Back to the conversation about education is Gen Zs have learned from the mistake of millennials. Like one thing that they're always talking about is student debt. And for them, thanks to the technology, they really do not have to go and lock themselves in a university for 4 years. Like we like structured education. I'm going to do this MBA for 2 years. I'm going to get this. This is the mark I'm aiming for. After that, companies will be begging me. No, Gen Z will decide today I want to be a podcaster. University of YouTube, learn everything about podcasting. 2 months later, they only have six people who have listened. I don't think this podcasting is for me. Let me do makeup. Go to University of YouTube, learn about makeup. Oh, everybody's talking about crypto. Interesting. How does crypto work? Back to University of YouTube. Let's try crypto. Like they immerse themselves and they learn on demand. It's not like us who we are like 2 years, I'm going to do this. Then you never read a book for 7 years and you still tell people, I'm a graduate. So you see, as much as we are different, there's benefits and limitations on both spectrums. And that's what I love. That's how we coexist. Like, that's how we just flow through this madness. And then Gen Z people, you people have sent HR people to therapy in volumes, in thousands. I was speaking to one of my friends and she said, their social media manager sent her laptop with a Nduthi guy. It's like, oh, are you coming to work? Blah, blah, blah. She's like, no, I'm not. I'm still thinking about it. I'm not feeling well. And then she sent the rider to take back her laptop. And then on top, there was a brown envelope with her resignation letter. Like, this I don't give a fuck attitude amongst you Gen Z people. How did you get here? I really want to talk to someone who's a Gen Z, two or three, just to understand how they think, how things make sense in their head, because this is interesting, to say the least, yeah? And also with that, especially post-pandemic, we're going to see this like happen a lot, is that most Gen Zs don't like being fixed in an office. They really appreciate their freedom. And not just in terms of location, but also in terms of work hours. And that's why flexi time has become such a norm right now. I don't need to wake up at 9 a.m. to sit and do nothing and just stare at the screen and pretend that I'm working. Literally, my brain is frozen. No creative juices. I'm not in flow. So I'm not getting any shit done. I'm just not a morning person. Why should I be here in the morning? Why don't you let me work in the wee hours of the night when I'm super productive, when I'm alert, I'm a night owl, and then I'll take the morning off and I'll see you in the afternoon, which I'll only work for 3 hours in the office. After that, I'll take all my meetings from a coffee shop in the freedom of my space and do whatever I'm spending. 9 to 5, goodbye. And it's weird because they're saying even now in terms of going back to work, most Gen Zs are just like, why do we have to change it if it's working? Right? But millennials are more open to like, okay, yeah, I can do a hybrid approach. I can do like 3 days in the office and like work remotely for 2 days. That's fine with me. Gen Z are just like, why are you spending on rent? Cancel that office lease and increase my salary. Are you seeing the difference? You're a smart person. That's why you're here. You're a gist monger. You understand what I'm saying. Yes. Then another thing that caught my attention is, weirdly enough, Gen Zs still appreciate audiovisual content, TV, but watch TV the least. So if you ask a Gen Z what they prefer, podcasts, YouTube, or going through reels on Instagram, they would always choose a platform that's engaging them audiovisually. But Sisi Watua Radio, for those of us who are brought up with the radio, we are podcasters die hard. And one reason why perhaps radio still exists is that element. But the good thing with podcasting, you can pick and choose who you want to listen to at what time. You have the freedom of time. You're not stuck to knowing that I have to listen to my show between 3 and 7. The freedom of on demand is a new luxury that we are enjoying, but clearly not as much as Gen Z. I've also gotten to the point where I actually enjoy more podcasting content on YouTube. You know, it's not like those vlogger days where you had to have transition, sound, slow-mo, your makeup, face beat. Like literally, I think before I used to focus on the aesthetics more than the content on YouTube. And I like that now there's more of a shift. Like I can just see two babes. Like my dream podcast situation is me and one of my closest girlfriends just chilling on a dera on a cute sofa, just bitching about life. And then like-minded people just joining us and chiming in on the conversation. I mean, look at the Ikonini podcast from Nairobi. Those guys just have a red couch, two mics, very basic visuals, but the stuff they discuss is so impactful, and the guests that they have, the lineups are so sick. And right now, they're like the second biggest podcast in Kenya, which is fucking phenomenal. So that's just the difference between Gen Zs and millennials. And I'm happy that content on YouTube is moving from the aesthetically pleasing notion into the more concrete, deep content, for lack of a better word. So yeah, it's interesting to see that they still prefer TV and we prefer more of audio content. Yeah, I guess that's it. That's all I had with regards to Gen Zs and us who are still stuck in debt paying student loans. Meanwhile, them, they are smart. They are resorting to University of YouTube and only learning those skills that they know will serve them. But I'm very curious to see the impact of all these changes, like in the next 10 to 15 years. Like when I'm in my late 40s versus when they're in their 30s, would they be able to navigate their 30s how we have? Interestingly enough, 37% of Gen Zs have been to therapy at least once. Do you want to guess what the number is for millennials? I'll give you a clue. It's a single digit. That means it's between 1 and 9%. So one thing I'll tell you for free, these people are taking care of their mental health. Are they going to get better? I'm actually very particularly curious to see all these crypto billionaires. Let me tell you, it's very frustrating right now as a 30-something-year-old woman to be like in the club scene in Dubai. Before on the club scene, you're there waiting for your valet. You'll see a nice man coming in, twee-twee, he's posh, blah, blah, blah. You guys can have an exchange of words, get to know each other, you know, build a bond. Now, the kind of people who are picking up these cars from the valet, I'm like, do you even have an ID? And how are you driving a Ferrari? How comes you own a Bugatti? I don't get it. Make it make sense. Is that puberty acne? That's adolescent acne. So you have not even fully grown into a man. You and your three strands of hair, you think you have a beard. You've been pulling them all night. You're a boy. But how are you driving a Lambo though? I just want to see if these kids would be able to sustain the wealth they have created right now, well into their 30s, into their 40s, and into their 50s. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think wealth sustenance is something that the Gen Zs can hack considering the lifestyles that they're living right now? Weirdly enough, they do say that Gen Zs are more frugal than millennials. Like millennials, we just threw caution to the wind. And also you have to understand that when we were coming into our own and having disposable income, that's when fast fashion was on the rise and this high life and social media that set up all these standards that we had to adopt to feel like we belong. Then later discovered, meh, it's not for me. Let me just go back to being me. But now with these Gen Zs, they have that blueprint. They see those who are struggling and they see those who are living in their element. So they can make the choice of which one makes more sense to them. For us, we had to try. We were the guinea pigs. We experimented, tried and failed. And now we've gone back to default settings. But them, off the bat, they have a choice to make. And most of them are choosing just to be authentically themselves. And they say that Gen Zs look for friendship. Personal friendship, not followers on Instagram or your social media presence. They look for quality friendship and millennials look for quantity friendship. Millennials like feeling like, oh, that guy is connected to that guy. So-and-so's son works for this company, so he knows this guy. Like that 6 degree of separation is something that is taken very seriously amongst millennials. But Gen Zs, you could be my friend for 5 years and we break up and you're dead to me. Like, when someone ghosts you, let them die. And the next time they see you, they look at you like they don't know you. For them, separation happens shweep, instantly. They block it and they're done. They literally take that block button to heart. And just going through some of these differences, it's like, are you willing to adopt like if you're an HR person and you're working in a company where like maybe 40% of your work staff is Gen Z, what steps are you taking to understand them better to ensure that they can perform at their optimum level? Any tips, any advice, please hit me in the DM section because we could help these HR people that are receiving their laptops and resignation letters through Andudhi guy. Madness, I tell you. Madness. But in conclusion, please bring back girl bands. I really miss girl bands. I just feel like I'm happy Afrobeats has gone global, but I'm just worried about cultural appropriation because you know what they say, takers have no limits. So these culture vultures are going to rape and then repackage our culture as their own. That is my biggest worry. But at the same time, I think it's necessary for us to be heard. Like for a very long time, we've been a speck on a map and now we have spread our tentacle wide and we are now covering the map, which is a beautiful thing to see. But the saddest part is, do you think Africa is developed enough infrastructure-wise, company-wise, to absorb all the money that they should be receiving from the attention and the publicity that we're getting in the West? Record deals, talent managers, like do we have people who are equipped with the tools and information to actually sit down with like a Jay-Z and discuss a deal and ensure that your African artist is not getting ripped off? Those are just some of my conscious worries because if not, and if we don't have the systems and structure in place, they're going to colonize us through our own talents once more. And it's not a good feeling to think that that can actually happen or is happening. I think I have said a lot, but do let me know in the comment section whether you agree with me or disagree with me with regards to the differences amongst the millennials and the Gen Zs. And like I said, please, these people who are born in between, these people who are born between 95 and 97, avoid them. Those ones who are born on the cusp, they're not sure if they're millennial, they're not sure if they're Gen Z. Avoid them. Those people are confused. They will come and confuse your life. Okay? A word is enough for the wives. This has been your girl, Amaka, the original, the certified juice monger. Thank you for spending your time with me. And until next week, stay true, stay you, and I will see you on the next one. Toodles!